We bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and welcome you all to Christ Reformed Church on this Monday, Thursday service of worship. We want to extend a special greeting to folks from Young Memorial ARP who might be joining with us. Young Memorial has actually been hosting this service for the last probably 4 or 5 years that we have been joining with them, and because of COVID concerns, we're going to actually host this evening's service of worship. We also want to welcome those who might be viewing on our live simulcast. This is something of an unusual service for us. It's going to be much more sober, I suppose, than most worship services, because what we're doing tonight is we are remembering the death of Jesus Christ. On Sunday, we're going to celebrate his resurrection, but it's appropriate to take time to think about his death. So we're sort of combining Monday, Thursday with Good Friday services of worship. And the way this worship service is going to work today is it's going to be something like a Christmas Lessons and Carols, where we are going to look at a passage of Scripture. Primarily, we're going to focus on the 7 last words of Jesus Christ on the cross. And then we're going to read a passage. I'm going to give brief commentary on each one of those passages, and then we will sing a hymn. So a lot of the teaching tonight will actually come from the Word of God itself, the read Word of God, and from the words of the hymns that we're singing. So pay careful attention. Don't drift off as you are singing those hymns, and sing out so that we can exalt the Lord through song. So we're looking forward to this service of worship, and we want to just bless the Lord for his presence here and for all that he did on the cross for us those 2,000 years ago. Hear now the word of the Lord, our call to worship that comes to us from Isaiah 53, the prophet Isaiah writing of the cross of Jesus Christ some 700 years before the event took place. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one with whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each has turned his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. Let us worship God. Holy Father, in faith we look to you this day, and it is our great desire on this anniversary of your death to remember that death and all that that means to us, because in your death you gave us life. In your suffering you gave us joy. And we thank you, God, that while we celebrate the death of Jesus Christ, we know this, because Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the Son of God. Death could not hold him. The grave could not contain him. And he rose from the dead, the first fruits of all of those who will follow after him. Bless us now with your presence. Let us go deep in our relationship with you as we look at your word, as we sing your word back to you, and as we learn about this amazing principle of the substitutionary atonement, the death of Jesus Christ, where the Son of God came as a man and died for us. Bless us now, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Our first word of the cross is, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Luke 23. Two others also who were criminals were being led away to be put to death with him when they came to the place called the Skull. There they were crucified, him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And the people stood by looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, He saved us. Let him save himself, If this is the Christ of God, the chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. Now there also was an inscription above him, this is the king of the Jews. You know, when Jesus says, Father, forgive them, they do not know what they're doing. Obviously, he is thinking not only about us at the time and all those who will become Christians and receive the forgiveness of sins, but particularly all the evil things that were occurring that were a result of his death, the kangaroo court, the trial, the misuse, the abuse of him earlier, the betrayal by his friend, and all these other things. But just to point out a few things and how the Lord reveals himself to us in his Old Testament prophecies, even in the smallest of details, here they are dividing up his garments. The uncomfortable truth is this, folks. Jesus likely was stripped and died naked for all the world to see, with the complete shame and the humiliation of what that must have been like. Before the fall in the garden, Adam and Eve once walked naked without shame. Genesis 2:25 says this, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. And then after the fall, things changed. Genesis 3:10 says, he said, I heard, and this is Adam saying, I heard the sound of you, God, in the garden and was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And in his grace and mercy, God himself covered the nakedness of Adam and Eve by killing an animal and covering them with the garments of skin. The blood of the animal covered their shame. He not only bore the judicial guilt of our sin, he also covered the shame of our sin. The last time Jesus, before this, that Jesus had taken off his garments was to remove them in order to wash the disciples' feet. And here they are stripped away and bartered among the soldiers. He covers our nakedness by exposing his own nakedness. John also talks about this inscription, this is the king of the Jews. And John, he says it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. Matthew Henry, the great commentator of some 300 years ago, said, in each of these languages, Christ is proclaimed king, in whom are hid all the treasure of revelation, Hebrew, wisdom, Greek, and power, Latin or Roman. The inscription was ordered by Pilate, who unwittingly proclaimed eternal truth even as he was carrying out this great sin. Sin that could have been forgiven had Pilate turned to Jesus Christ. Let us stand and sing our first hymn this evening, Were You There?, hymn number 260, as we remember, Father, forgive them. Thank you. The second word on the cross is, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Luke 23:43. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, said, do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. The other two men who were crucified with Jesus were quite possibly insurrectionists that were involved with the same insurrection that was led evidently by Barabbas. Barabbas, of course, was released. The Jewish authorities would rather a murderous insurrectionist be released onto the streets than the perfect Messiah. In the case of Barabbas being released physically, at least one of these insurrectionists was released spiritually because of the grace of Jesus Christ. This situation was in fulfillment of Isaiah 53. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Here, Jesus is giving hope to a transgressor. The interesting thing, and something that we can appreciate as sinners ourselves, is the first person saved under the fulfillment of the new covenant was a wicked, murderous insurrectionist. Let us stand and sing Beneath the Cross of Jesus, hymn number 251, remembering, today you will be with me in paradise. The third word of the cross is, behold, woman, behold your son, behold your mother, John 19:26-27. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. From that hour, the disciple took her to his own household. It's interesting, the Gospel, according to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John writer, who the author of that Gospel is not actually named, but he's the disciple with whom Jesus loved, and church has always recognized John, the disciple, as being the author of the Gospel. He was the only one of the disciples, the only man actually present there. The men all ran away. The women stayed right there at the foot of the cross, watching Jesus die. And what we have here is a fulfillment of the prophecy that was made 33 years earlier there at the temple by old Simeon when they took Jesus to go in and be circumcised. When Simeon looked at Mary and said, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Can you imagine what Mary was going through to see her son being not only crucified, but mocked and scorned and hated by the highest levels of the culture? It's interesting. Jesus had brothers, but they weren't believers yet. They didn't believe in Jesus Christ. They were not what we would say Christians. So what did Jesus do? He looked to John, who was a believer, and said, "You take care of my mother." Tradition says that Mary went to live with John for some 11 years before her death. Another tradition says that she actually accompanied him to Ephesus and died there. Let us stand and sing hymn number 252, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." When we think about, "Woman, behold your son, behold your mother." Fourth word of the cross is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Matthew 27:46, Mark 15:34, and Psalm 22:1. Reading from Mark 15. "When the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, behold, he is calling for Elijah. Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink, saying, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Jesus here quotes Psalm 22. And it's interesting, as he was going to the cross, the other words that we've seen, Jesus is, it's amazing. After what he's going through right now, after what he's been through, he's been up all night, he's always thinking about others. He says, Father, forgive them. Today you will be with me in paradise. And he encourages his mother and his to go with John. Dear woman, here is your son. But as darkness covered the land, and as God the Father turns his back upon Jesus, he cannot help but think about his own broken heart and his own broken relationship with God. And he cries out with a startling cry of Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. The reason for God's assertion had nothing to do with anything that Jesus had done to offend him. It had to do with what you had done to offend him. God the Father turned his back on the one who would bear your sins. The separation crushed the emotions of the Son of God. Jesus betrayed him, Peter forsook him, and they were but mere men. But here God himself turns his holy back on the Son at his greatest hour of need. As Charles Haddon Spurgeon says, hell itself has for its fiercest flame the separation of the soul from God. While Jesus was in torment, he was focusing upon the Scriptures and perhaps was even quoting the entire psalm, but could only mutter out in pain and agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? Let us stand and sing, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded, hymn number 247. The fifth word of the cross is, I am thirsty, John 19:28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the Scripture, said, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. This comes to us, this is a fulfillment of a prophecy from Psalm 69:21 that says, they gave me vinegar to drink. It's amazing how the prophecies of the death, the life, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ are fulfilled within the New Testament, even to the lowest detail of what they gave him to drink before he died. One commentator says this, this was the cheap sour wine that soldiers commonly consumed. It was not the same beverage that the Lord had earlier refused. That beverage, which contained gall, was intended to help deaden his pain so he would not struggle as much while being nailed to his cross. Jesus had refused it because he wanted to drink the cup of God's wrath against sin to the fullest way his senses could experience it. And he did that for you. I am thirsty. Let us stand and sing hymn number 257, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted. Please be seated. The sixth word of the cross is, it is finished. John 19 and verse 30. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Then the Jews, because it was the day of preparation, so the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man and of the other who was crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who was seeing this testified it, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may also believe. For these things came to pass to fulfill the scripture, not a bone of him was broken. And again, another scripture says, they shall look on him to whom they pierced. Jesus cries out in the Greek, it is finished, tetelestai, from the Greek word teleo, meaning to fulfill one's religious obligations in particular. Psalm 22:31, David finished this psalm with, he has performed it, or he has done it. And Jesus translated that to, it is finished. This is not a whimper. It is not a cry. It's a victorious shout of victory of a conquering hero. It was always Jesus' purpose to fulfill God's plan. In John 4:34, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to teteleo, accomplish his work. In John 17, he says to God, I have brought you glory on earth by completing teteleo, the work you gave me to do. His earthly ministry was through. His task was accomplished. Satan was crushed. The filthy would be cleansed, and the captives would be set free. Hebrews 10 says this, by this we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let us sing The Power of the Cross. You'll find the words printed for you in your bulletin. Please rise. Well, this is the anniversary of when the disciples and Jesus had Passover together. And we celebrate the Passover with the transition into the new covenant of the Lord's Supper. The old bloody type has been replaced by the new type. The sacrifice which Jesus fulfilled is now replaced with a feast, a supper, a celebration of what the Lord has done for us. And as we eat of this, it's a memorial to the body and blood of Jesus Christ, as we have been singing about and reading about all night long. It's also a means of grace. You will receive more grace in your life as a result of participating in this sacrament. You do not have to be a member of our church. You do need to be a Christian. And you need to be of age enough to be able to understand the import of what you're doing. So you should be a communing member of a church. And we just invite you to come to the table of the Lord. Our officers will dismiss you by rows, and you'll come forward. You take of the cup, and then of the bread, and then of the cup, and take it back to your seat. And then we will take those elements in unison. If you are gluten intolerant, or I think even nut intolerant, the bread in the middle is for you. So take advantage of that so that you can partake of the Lord's Supper. Here now, the institution of the Lord that comes to us from the Apostle Paul. And I love this because Jesus himself told Paul these words. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do ask blessings upon this sacred supper. We thank you, God, that you have invited us to this meal, and therefore we are confident that you are at the head of the table. And we are in the company of perhaps those that have gone before and the angels who behold your face. And Lord, it is that we long to do, but we have work to do until we get there. Help us to be found faithful in that. And give us the grace that we need in order to walk in the Spirit and not carry out the desires of the flesh. And to walk in the love of Christ and to serve others. Please, Lord, now set aside these common elements for a sacred use and give them to us as a spiritual nourishment for our souls, as well as our bodies. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Take, eat, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take, drink, this is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. And Father, we in faith we partake of these sacred elements, Lord, in obedience to Holy Scripture. And we pray, Lord God, that as you always do, you would reward this faith and bless these people who have come out on a Thursday evening. And help us to focus on the great meaning of the cross of Jesus Christ. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. The seventh word, the final word of the cross, was, Father, into my hands I commit my spirit. Luke 23:46, Psalm 31:5. And it was about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, because the sun was obscured and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. And when the centurion saw what had happened, he began praising God, saying, certainly this man was innocent. And all the crowds who came together for the spectacle, when they observed what had happened, began returning, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who accompanied him from Galilee were standing at a distance, seeing these things. And a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, he had not consented to their plan and action, a man from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, was waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb cut into a rock where no one had ever lain. It was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. Now the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed and saw the tomb, how his body was laid. And then they returned and prepared spices and perfumes. And on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. He peacefully places himself in the Father's hand and releases his spirit. And that's what we do too. We place our spirit in the Father's hand, trusting him for eternal salvation. John 10:18 says this, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Let us sing the hymn, Behold the Lamb. You will find, Behold the Lamb, the words of that hymn written on the back of your bulletin. Please stand. Thank you. Please be seated. John 3:14-6. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. Those of us with a little bit of age on us remember Paul Harvey on the radio. Howard remembers Paul Harvey on the radio. And Paul Harvey always had this intriguing story, and he would take a commercial break, and he'd say, come back for the rest of the story. Come back on Sunday. Come back on Easter. The story is not finished. It's appropriate to focus on the death of Jesus Christ, but he is risen, and he is Lord, and he reigns over all. Receive now the benediction, the good word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forevermore. Amen.